Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I don't have enough words to describe what David means to baseball, but I'm so disappointed in having someone after his life. I'm sorry. It hurts me.
Dale Arnold.
Hey, look, everybody. Kevin's back.
Durant's slipping. Durant goes down holding his leg.
I'm just devastated for Kevin.
Rich Keefe.
It's going to be exciting. Obviously, someone's going to win the Stanley Cup. We're not going to get caught up in the excitement about it.
Dale and Keefe.
This is it, boys. Yeah. Like,
did you just say this is it, boys?
Yeah, like there's no holding back.
This is it. Come on, boys. Let's go, boys.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. So we mentioned that before Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Final was played in St. Louis earlier this week, there was some premature celebratory things that went on.
Well, it happens. You know, you don't win a lot. You don't really know how to handle yourself at this point of the year.
And by the way, I agree with the notion that this sort of thing happens in most places.
Yeah.
For instance, maybe the Bruins have booked some club for their celebration after a potential Stanley Cup win. But they were smart enough to not tell anybody about it, which the Blues did before Game 6. Maybe there are ads that have already been produced and you know, shipped off to the Herald and the Globe to be printed in the papers in the aftermath of winning a Stanley Cup championship, but they're not stupid enough to do it before the game is played, which is what happened in St. Louis.
Oh, boy. What do they do now?
Well, now there's a website, and as I've looked at this, it's fairly clear to me that this is a cheap attempt to sell knockoff merchandise.
Oh, boy. So this isn't really on the Blues, then?
No. Okay. No, this is somebody ripping off the Blues.
Oh, okay. An entrepreneur, if you will.
So, for instance,
a businessman.
If you go to this website, and I'm even hesitant to give you the name of it because...
Why, is there spam?
No. What, do I want to help these guys sell
it's
knockoff
a naughty word
stuff?
In there.
Do you think anybody listening to us is going to want to buy a Blues championship?
Probably
anything?
Not. If you go to the website, thebluesonthecup.com, it says, congratulations to our champions, the St. Louis Blues, and then they just try to sell you some stuff. For instance, there's Gloria t-shirts and sweatshirts.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Now, I actually think what they're doing here is also ripping off Barstool. You know how Barstool will put up t-shirts and then just wait for the cease and desist order to show up?
Yeah.
They are selling both a t-shirt and a hoodie that says, cycle the puck, pucks in deep, pucks on net, skate, champions.
Mm.
Isn't that the Barstool t-shirt?
Yeah.
Without the champion, without the champions on the last line.
There's eight things on here, and I believe six of them either have a Barstool logo on them, but they're not affiliated with Barstool, according to, I just read through a Barstool article. So
yeah, I'm looking, and they've got the Barstool logos on the shoulders of some of these. Not all of them, but some of them. The hoodies have Barstool logos on the shoulder. The t-shirts don't, apparently.
Yes, I don't know what's going on
so
there.
Is this Barstool just selling stuff?
I don't know. They do have a couple guys that are their local Young Page Views and Riggs are the Blues fans. They're the resident Blues fans. The one kid has like a chinchilla?
The chinchilla, yes.
What's the deal with that again? He's got Boris the chinchilla, and he brings him into the games and then dances with him afterwards?
He sure does.
Rossi likes it because Rossi likes the gimmick.
I find this funny. I'm not all about the Blues in any way, but this is the one small thing that I will take out of anything, the three games they've already won,
because
he
great,
dances with it.
That's one of the great things that they have. They have so many people that work there at Barstool now that there are basically fans of almost every team. So then when they get to this point, they can go to all the games.
This site, if this is in fact a Barstool
site,
it kind of appears it is, this must drive Portnoy crazy.
Unless he's making money. I think I'll take it. There is a site, thebruinswonthecup.com.
Is there?
But I think it's the last time they won. It's a very shoddy little blog. There's like really nothing else going on here.
Yeah, this website is mainly just, you know, a giant picture. It says, we did it. The St. Louis Blues are Stanley Cup champions. We finally did it.
we finally did it.
The Blues are champs and nothing can take that away from us. Gloria, get your merch today to celebrate.
Now, I think what you can do is you can create a website and then not have it go live yet.
Well, maybe this one seems to be live.
You got to prepare, though. You know, if they win, say they win Wednesday at, what, 10:40, you'll know that they won. You're going to want to make sure that you get that merch out there. People are going to want to buy the shirts.
Now, they've also got a Blues Stanley Cup Champions logo up there, which is totally illegal.
Well,
they don't have the rights to it.
Yeah, but this isn't the team's fault.
No. I'm not blaming the Blues at all.
Okay. All right.
This seems to be, it appears that this is some subsidiary of Barstool Sports.
Could be.
That's trying to get out there ahead of time and see if they can sell that merch.
Probably that young page views. That's probably who it is. Him and his chinchilla.
They say they're not affiliated with this. He said, if I were to make t-shirts, it would just be about me.
Well, wait a minute. You see the Barstool logo on the sleeve of these shirts.
Well, maybe they're ripping those guys off.
I think it's
somebody... they'll sell more if you see the stool on there. That makes sense. Now they're going to have to cease and desist them.
So a texter says, Dale, you're an idiot. Portnoy did this. Maybe he did.
I have no idea.
I mean, he claims to be, you know, the world's biggest Bruins fan. But, capitalism over everything. So
yes,
if he's got an opportunity to...
He's a businessman. He's obviously a Bruins fan.
I know. Now I'm actually mad. I should have thought of this.
What, sell Blues gear?
Yeah, sell every gear just in case.
How would you go about that? How would you get the shirts?
I would go to Wiggy's guy.
Wiggy's guy.
Here you go.
Good
now,
point.
Wiggy's on the website, you know how it's got the items, and if you click on Shop Now, it takes you right to the Barstool Sports website.
There you go.
So this is, I guess, this is Dave Portnoy's thing.
Okay. If they're Blues guys, the Blues guys are probably in charge of selling their shirts. I think they all have their own little, they all have to come up with their own merchandise for certain things, right? That'd be my guess.
So it's just a redirect. They did find a redirect.
It redirects you right to Barstool Sports. Well, we said the Barstool logo's on the sleeve. It's fairly obvious.
Yeah, that's kind of ballsy. If you're going to rip them off, you're going to also put the stool on there. That's a little much. But, all right. I mean, it's nothing the Blues' fault, though.
No. I wasn't suggesting this was the Blues' fault.
Okay.
Until they retweet it.
I didn't think it was the Blues' fault that the St. Louis Post-Dispatch printed all those ads ahead of time.
Yeah, that's just the city getting all ahead of themselves a little bit. Then I hear.
They were very cranked up.
Mm-hmm.
That was before game six. They've supposedly, who knows what'll happen. They had a viewing party scheduled for game seven at Enterprise Center, and they banged that thing out. So now they've opened up Busch Stadium.
That's so dumb. Both accounts are so dumb. I wouldn't want to be caught dead in either place watching it on the jumbo screen. Pathetic. That is awful.
Amongst fans.
Oh, I can go drive down and park. And then, pay to park and then pay a ridiculous amount for beer and nachos and then just sit there with a bunch of idiots and watch it on the screen? That is awful. Let's go watch live sports. Oh, are they there? No. God, no. The game's in Boston. But we're going to go sit in a baseball stadium and watch a hockey
game. We're going to go sit in the world's biggest sports bar.
So bad.
Without wait service.
I was going to say, not even though. Like, at least the bar. Like, some of these cool sports bars that have a million TVs, that makes more sense. Let's go jam into the hockey arena and watch it on the jumbo screen. So stupid. So dumb. But
and yet, Bruins fan, you can go to Warrior Arena and sit and watch the game if you want to.
Good luck to you there.
On Wednesday.
That also sounds
not quite
miserable.
The same amount of people, by the way.
No.
And they don't actually have, giant video screens at Warrior Arena. So I guess what they're going to do is set up some screen.
They're going to wheel in those TVs like in elementary school. Just bring them in with like the laser disc and be like, here we go, guys.
AV Club rolling in hot.
Everybody see this one? Like, I can't see anything.
Remember how excited
it's
you
awful.
Used to get when the TVs would be wheeled in?
Oh, you didn't know what was going to happen.
Oh, it's movie day.
Oh, God. Reading Rainbow. You didn't know what you were going to watch. Something great. That was a good show. You learned a lot on that show.
Schoolhouse Rock.
The teachers could pretend it was educational and they were doing you some good by letting you watch it.
We watched the OJ trial. That was a big day for the TV.
Did they let you do that in school?
Yeah, we watched the OJ trial.
Wow.
Yeah, it was like fifth grade or sixth grade. Yeah, brought that puppy in. Yeah. Our teacher was very upset with the verdict. I remember that.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Very, very upset. I didn't really know what was going on. Like, oh, it's the guy from Naked Gun. Not good.
You're like, he's hilarious.
Yeah.
Look at him. He can't get that glove on.
We were sitting in a studio. EEI at the time was down in Copley Square.
Mm.
We were sitting in the studio. It was me and Eddie Andelman and Harry Mannion watching it live.
Were you guys on the air?
On the air.
Oh, yeah.
And, we were playing the verdict and watching the three of us.
Yeah.
And Harry just was dumbfounded. Yes.
Oh,
thank
it
you.
Was wild.
I mean, he like everybody else who had watched it said, God, of course he's guilty. What are you kidding?
Yeah.
And nobody expected that you were going to get a jury trying to make up for the Reginald Denny situation from, you know, earlier, and that's what you got.
Yeah, that was crazy. And now he's a free man.
OJ Simpson. Sort of.
He is.
I mean, he's not in jail. But
that's what I'm saying. He's at wasn't he at a Bills game last year? I think he went to one of the
He didn't go into the game. He was outside with Bills Mafia.
Yeah, he actually watched the game at Busch Stadium, which is a real surprise that he went there.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Texter does point out, by the way, you mocking people going to Busch Stadium to watch the game is kind of sweet, considering you'll go to at midnight to watch some superhero movie.
How is that
in a
even
crowded theater? By the way,
how is that similar at all?
Because we don't want to be spoiled.
How is that
we're getting criticized for
anywhere on par? Because if I could watch Endgame at my house,
I would.
I can't. It's the only place to see it.
You so would do that.
That is the dumbest comparison I've ever heard in my life. That guy should lose all texting privileges. Should never be able to text it on the show.
Can we do that?
Yes. Block the number.
Just block it right now.
Number's blocked.
All right, back to the call. 617. Well, except from that number.
No, that guy, forget it.
617.
Or gal.
It could be.
Yeah.
617-779-7937. Jay's in Brockton. Hey, Jay.
Hey, what's up?
Hey.
How are you?
How you guys doing? Love you guys' show.
Thank you.
All right. So my big deal is right now is we keep saying the Bruins are better than the Blues, but the series is 3-3. How can we decide who's the better team until we see who wins Game 7?
Well, we got to talk about it. The game's not until tomorrow night. We got time to fill.
We got 4 hours to fill.
Yeah.
I mean, it is simple. Jay, it's a simple thing if you've watched all six games as we have. Based on what you've seen, which team do you think looks better to you? That's all we're talking about.
I don't know. I feel like it's evenly matched up.
I don't. There was a 5-1 game. There was a 7-2 game in there.
Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt there. Not arguing that. I just feel it's 3-3. Somebody's going to be the better team, and that's going to be in Game 7. Whoever wins that Game 7 is obviously holding up the cup, brother.
Yeah, I think whoever wins tomorrow wins.
Oh, really?
I'm with him.
That's what spoiler he said. Alert. You could have said spoiler alert.
I know, but I'm jumping on the bandwagon there. What was his name again? Jay?
Jay.
Great thought.
Jay.
I think it boils down to this.
We've had two calls today who are saying, wait till after the game tomorrow before you say anything.
Where is that coming from?
I don't know.
What is the point of that? Let's just wait. Let's just wait this out. Just like, will the Red Sox make the playoffs? Well, we won't know until they're officially eliminated, so we should probably put a pin in that and then circle back. So he literally called in the show to say whoever wins tomorrow is going to win the cup. What are we doing?
Can't be wrong.
Nope. I mean, he's
go ahead.
He's
arguing
definitely right.
At your peril, by the way.
Whoever the better team is tomorrow is going to win the cup. Like, because I don't know. Because do you think that the better team wins every series? Like, the winner of the series is the better team? Because I don't think
usually.
That it is.
Not always, but usually. You play seven games. Like, generally speaking, the better team prevails.
Like, I still don't think Columbus is a better team than Tampa Bay. I think that they just played great for those four games. You know, Kucherov was hurt from one of the games.
Well, that's why I said not always.
That's what I'm saying.
But usually you'd say the better team ends up winning. And if St. Louis were to win tomorrow night, this would be one of those exceptions where I would say, I don't think they were the better team, but they won the series.
Yeah, right. And they couldn't. Like, anytime it's close, you know, one team is going to have the edge there. But you can't just sit here and say, well, it's 3-3, so these teams are exactly even. Like, all right. Like, so you're basing it strictly off the wins. You're not looking at anything else. I think your point, too, is the Bruins have won by 2, 5, and 4. The Blues have won by 1 in overtime, 2-1.
I think we gave the number. Matt Chatham tweeted it out yesterday. The Bruins have won their three games by an average of like 3.64 goals per win. And
just over one.
And St. Louis has won their three games by like 1 point something.
Right. And I think it's still pretty significant that game two, Matt Grizzlick plays 4.5 minutes. And so they're playing with five defensemen for two periods, more than two periods, and overtime, and they lose. And then you have the game where Chara takes a puck to the face in the first period.
Early
in the second period. Misses most of the game, and they won that one as well. You know, not to play the ref card game, because we've talked enough about them, but you look at some of the calls that were allowed in Game 5, or actually were not called, I should say, in Game 5. I don't know. They've needed a little bit more of that. I think overall the Bruins are better. So I'm not disrespecting the Blues. I think the Bruins are better.
When the Giants beat the Patriots to finish the Patriots season at 18-1,
I don't think they were a better team.
I did not think the Giants were a better team.
That day they were, and so they deserve to win and all that stuff. But it's the old adage. If they played 10 times.
Yeah, if they played 10 times, the Patriots would have won 9.
Correct.
Unfortunately for the Patriots,
right.
They only play the 1.
Right.
See, the whole black and white thing. Oh, no, if they won, they're the better team. No,
I don't think so.
Not necessarily. Usually in
right.
7-game series,
it usually works out
the better way. Team prevails.
Right.
Not every time.
Uh-huh.
Occasionally, you've brought up, you know, the Columbus-Tampa Bay thing. I don't think Columbus is a better team than Tampa Bay. I don't even
no.
after they beat Tampa Bay.
No, but you know what? You give them credit. They were able to do it. They won the 4 games. And that's why, you know, there should be less upset. I mean, what's the whole point of an upset? Like, if there's an upset, why was it an upset? Because the better
because
team
lost.
Because
one team was better
yeah.
than the other.
Right.
By the way, help me out because you're my guy. What is the spread for tomorrow night, by the way?
Ooh, let's take a look. I don't think, I mean, it's probably just, I would assume.
I think I heard Mutt say yesterday, I think it was -165. This was yesterday.
Yeah,
the Bruins are currently -165.
Thank you, Shime.
So that hasn't changed from yesterday, because I heard Mutt say that yesterday as well.
What's the over-under? 5?
The over-under for the entire game?
Yeah.
5.5.
Oh, 5.5. Because the Bruins, every time they've scored 3 goals, they've won. This whole postseason. Every time they score 3 goals.
Want to put a latch on it?
I do.
You think the over? Or you think
no,
the Bruins?
I think Tuukka is out of his mind.
But you think it could be?
No, it could be like 4-1 or something like that. What do you think?
Well, it could be anything, yes.
Shime, you're
you.
Our...
It could be 100-0.
Shime, you're our resident degenerate.
Well, that's kind of a nasty way of describing him.
But it's accurate. So if you were to be making a play for tomorrow, what would you do?
Honestly, I'd probably shoot the under. I really like the over, but I think I have to shoot the under here just because it's very conceivable to me that the Bruins score 3 in regulation, the Blues get 1, and then the Bruins get an empty netter, and that's nail in the coffin.
So this is what the bet is then. You take the spread, which I know can be risky in hockey.
-1.5.
-1.5, but it's +160. So you say even if it's a close game, maybe there's an empty netter there. And so now you're getting +160 instead of -165. So if you think the Bruins are going to win, you take them to win by 2 goals or more. You put down, let's say, $10,000 on it.
Well, there you go.
And you would win $16,000.
Yuck.
Rossi is just, he thinks you need to, like, it's
everything
like
has to
Powerball
be mega million.
Every time. It's like, that's not how it works.
I'm looking
like,
for those.
Well, if I want to bet 10 of my dollars, I want to win 30 grand. That's not how betting is.
Some are.
No,
some,
that's
real
how,
small bets.
That's the lottery. You want to play the lottery.
I do.
You play the lottery.
Every week.
Well, there is that one guy we talked about who bet the Blues to win the Stanley Cup. And they offered to buy out his bet, and he wouldn't. He refused.
Yeah, he didn't do
and
it.
He, and he sat on
that
it. And he
guy,
sat on it.
That guy's dumb. Because
how do you not lay off some of that so that you make
you
sure
guarantee
that, yes, no
a
matter
big
what you
chunk.
Win some, maybe not as much as if you hold on.
Yeah,
to your
Yeah, because what was he going to win? Shime, do you remember that story? The guy was going to he bet early in the year like 400 to 1.
He was going
to
win like. I think it was like 250 grand or something like that.
Yeah, and we said you should bet like 50 grand on the Bruins.
Yes, yeah, so
and then
you come
guarantee
out guaranteed at least like 40 grand in your pocket.
Yeah, or more even. It was like 40 or 90,
oh,
whatever
yeah,
it was.
It was like I think it was the betting the Blues $400 on the Blues at 250 to 1 odds.
He bet $400 at 150 to 1. Excuse me, he bet $400 at 250 to 1.
Right.
And, you know, they talked about, do you do this? Do you do you, do,
yeah,
do
you hedge.
And he said no. And so he's going to hold on to it.
He might get it. Because whoever wins tomorrow, Dale's going to win the cup. Well, we got a call earlier.
Spoiler alert.
I got to fact check. But he had that. And so that's what you probably got to do.
This guy's name is Scott Berry, by the way.
Good luck, Scott.
If the Blues win tomorrow night, he wins $100,000.
And if they lose, he's out like $250.
He placed this bet in January
when they were in last place.
Yes, and it was 500 to 1 at the time.
Amazing, amazing. Rossi, how much money do you spend on lottery tickets every week?
$2 or maybe $4. I play one quick pick on each.
Here's what I'm going to tell you to do: take those $4 and just put it aside now until football season, and then every week you have $4. Add that up. And then put all that on something, and you have a better chance of winning money than you would with these stupid lottery tickets.
Hmm.
Wouldn't you not?
What was that?
I don't know if that's true.
Yeah, it is.
All it takes is one time if I hit, And I'm a gajillionaire.
The lottery?
The lottery.
No, you're not going to win the lottery. So take your $4, roll it over. In fact, give it to Shime. Have him hold on to it. He can be your money guy. And then he will invest your money in like a Patriots game next year. Or a...
First half over under.
Yes. Yes.
Or a Bruins -1.5 and the under tonight.
Tomorrow night.
And you can, yeah, tomorrow you can even parlay those bad boys.
And if you parlay them, 100 to win 333.
Pretty good. Or 10 grand to win 33 grand. Think about it.
It's great math.
I like low number bets, high percentage, like winning a ton. But that, they're out there.
No,
like if
not.
I were to put like money
not
right
this
now.
Series, there isn't.
Well, what if I said like, Danton Heinen is going to win Conn Smythe. He scores 18 goals tomorrow. That's what I'm looking
You'll
for.
You'll get a huge number. You know what? If you hit it, you're going to get a gigantic return on your investment.
Oh, my
God.
You
would be an idiot, but you could try.
You could give it a go.
Or you could save yourself some time and light a match to your money.
You could.
I'll stick with the lottery.
He's thinking about it. He's definitely thinking
about it. He was hesitant for just a moment there, wasn't he?
Well, I kind of want to. Well, no.
Eric's in Winthrop. Hey, Eric.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What's up?
So the book on the ref tonight, what's his name? Rooney?
Chris Rooney, who's from Southie, and Gord Dwyer. Yeah. Those are the two referees for tomorrow night.
So the thought is that he's usually a little too tough with the Bruins just to erase any thought that he might be a homer. I think that's
And by the way, in the three games, well,
chance to have a fair, well officiated game.
Eric, in this series, Stanley Cup Final, he's done three games so far. The Blues have had more power play tries than the Bruins have in those three games.
But that's okay. It's going to work out sometimes like that. I think he just controls the game better, with all the. I hesitate to call it dirty play, but the dirty play coming from the Blues.
Yeah, they're dirty. You could say
they are.
It's fine. It's fine.
And I just wanted to mention about Rask. He stepped into a position that was going to be unfair for any goalie to live up to. Having to replace Tim Thomas and just being the Bruins goalie is always going to be a high pressure job. And I'm really glad that he's gotten this chance on the big stage to make his own name and finally step out of that huge shadow that Thomas left.
Well, if they win tomorrow night,
sure.
There is no one anywhere. In fact, they will be going out of their way and sounding stupid to do it, who will make the case that Tim Thomas was still a better goalie than Tuukka Rask.
Nope.
If he finishes this thing tomorrow, and don't tell me, well, Thomas had to play tougher teams, bull.
Well, he did.
But my point is that Tuukka Rask
still
has played better than Tim Thomas did.
I agree.
Now, if he loses tomorrow night, you're back on your rant again. You Tuukka haters out there,
still have it.
Have right at it.
Right.
But if the Bruins win tomorrow night, you got to bury that thing.
Yeah, you
got to bury that argument.
Yeah.
And it is no longer valid.
Move on to something else.
Maybe Rossi, making stupid bets on Danton Heinen to win the Conn Smythe, something like that.
Throwing money away. Just flush. He'd rather flush money away. Unbelievable.
Because he could theoretically score 18 goals tomorrow.
Even then he wouldn't win it.
No, he wouldn't. They'd say, whoa, what a game you had, Danton.
Yeah, a good game.
It'll be 18-17. Raskin's up 17. That's the only way he can win it.
You would need that, yeah.
I'll put $1.
But someone's
going to
assist on all those Heinen goals, too. That's the thing.
He assists himself.
Wow, that'd be impressive.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. We'll get right back to the calls, but first we trend.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Tuukka Rask has sewn up the Conn Smythe. True or false?
False. False, false, false.
Okay.
Yeah.
Make your case.
I still can't believe Glenn Hull won it way back when in a losing cause when they got swept in four games by the Montreal Canadiens. Roger Crozier way back when. Jean-Sebastien Giguère, Ron Hextall. Those are guys that have been on, quote, losing teams. And you look at, we were looking again at Giguère. Marty Brodeur had a hell of a final. It was kind of weird that he got it.
Oh, in 2003?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
Anyway, the point being
he shut the Ducks out in that final game 4-0.
I know.
As well.
So it doesn't make any sense. So all I'm saying is the winning team The Blues deserve it. Somebody on the Blues, if they win it. Tuukka Rask has been phenomenal, but it's not like this was a series where he stole, say, three games.
I understand the argument. I think the flaw in their argument is this. The Conn Smythe is not the MVP of the Stanley Cup final.
No, although his point about the guy who won it and they got swept in the final, right. That's surprising.
But that was Glenn Hall, yeah.
Yeah, but the fact that Tuukka's won three games in the final and going into the final, he was the best player. And I don't think anybody else has really taken it.
Yeah, what Ryan you have to O'Reilly do is look at the 2 month body of work. And
yeah,
that's where
he's been the best.
He's talking about the final.
Right.
Well, okay, fine. If you don't want to give it to him for the final, I might disagree with you, but that's fine. But the Conn Smythe is supposed to be the MVP of the playoffs.
Right.
The whole playoffs.
But also to say that he hasn't stole a game, I suppose that's true because the games that they have won, they have, you know, they won by, what, 5 in a game? They just won by 4. However, if you go back and watch, it was 1-0 in the third period, and there were so many shots, so many chances that the Blues had just this last
yes.
game that Tuukka stuffed them, and they won in large part because of him. And so on the score, if you just look at the scoreboard, you're like, oh, any goalie would have won that one.
5-1, everybody.
Yeah, not true. Not true at all. That game would have been a lot different if it was somebody else. So I think he's been the best guy, and it might be more to, like, let's say they played the Sharks in this series, and it was 3-3, and Logan Couture was on the pace that he was on through the first three rounds, and then he added to it. Okay, I could see that. You have another guy that makes a lot of sense. The only player on the Blues I can make a case for is Ryan O'Reilly, and even then, he would probably need to play really well, and Tuukka would have to play really poorly in Game 7.
There might be some gamesmanship going on over at the Garden, even as we speak. Darren Drager, who covers the National Hockey League on TSN, tweeted this from the Garden a few minutes ago. He says, Blues GM Doug Armstrong just colorfully instructed the ice crew at TD Garden to get to work. Armstrong was a bit annoyed with the possibility of the Blues practice being delayed.
Oh, boy.
The crew member then said to Armstrong, who pissed in your Cheerios this morning?
Yikes. That's aggressive. I thought it was cornflakes. I always thought the line was cornflakes.
Now, what would make this even better if it was Matt Grizzlick's father?
It could be.
Who was the one who was, colorfully responding.
Well, listen, tensions are running high. It's a game
yes.
7. People are getting upset. I would think that the ice guys over at the Garden probably have heard a lot of criticism throughout the postseason, and now you're getting guys yelling at them.
By the way, the ice game 6 in St. Louis was horrible, too.
Yeah.
Puck was dancing and bouncing all over the place. In fact, the goal that St. Louis got, and the video replay correctly showed that it was completely over the line because it was up on its side.
Right.
If it had been flat on the ice, I don't think it would have been a goal. But that's beside the point.
Mm-hmm.
It was a goal. It was the right call.
Goal's a goal.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Kenny's in Rhode Island. Hey, Kenny.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. It's a pleasure to hear all this great hockey talk, and I'm very,
yes.
very proud of my Bruins.
Mm-hmm.
Been following them for the last 50 years.
Wow!
I would like to get your opinion on this great defenseman we heard about, Parayko. I mean, coming into this series, he was like the next Bobby Orr. He had a goal and 10 assists against the Bruins. He's got a goal, and he's plus minus zero. I think Brandon has far outplayed him, especially that last game we just saw Carlo play. Do you think that Brandon can put on 10 or 15 pounds of muscle? It seems like he's built like McQuaid was.
Yeah, he's a little heavier than that. I'll say this about Colton Parayko and Alex Pietrangelo as a defense pair. They've been utilized by Craig Berube almost exclusively, or as much as he could, out against the Bruins' top line, and they've done a really good job against the Bruins' top line. Don't get caught up in goals and assists for Parayko, the defenseman, in this series, because his job really is to just keep the Bergeron line in check as best they can. And until the last game, they did a pretty good job of it.
No, they've done a great job. And look at the minutes that they're playing, too.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
They're playing 26, 27 minutes. It's kind of like Columbus's top pair, where those guys are out there for half the game. And so I think they've been good, but I'm not going to argue with his thought on Carlo. I think Carlo's been, for the most part, really good throughout the entire postseason.
Yeah, I think Colton Parayko's been really good.
Yeah.
I think Alex Pietrangelo's been really
pair.
Good.
That's a good top defensive pair.
Jim's in Haverhill. Hey, Jim, how you doing?
Hey, Dale. How you doing? Long time. I've never called in, but I wanted to say a real quick comment before I got into my point.
Okay.
A few years ago, I went to the game, and I had tickets upstairs, which I had never been. He was, like, sitting close. And I was trying to find out where I was sitting. And this person comes over me and says, oh, sir, can I help you? And I look up and it's Barry Peterson.
Well, there's a guy who could help you.
How about that?
Let me tell you. So he brought me in, and the tickets were next to you guys in the press box. And I just wanted to thank you. You guys were such gentlemen and salt of the earth. I'm telling you.
I don't believe it.
I thought you were friends with Barry. I wouldn't have given you the time of day.
I don't believe the story for a second.
You're a gentleman. I want everybody to know that, too, because I experienced it was nothing, no limelight about it, nothing. You guys were just unbelievable. It was like I've known you 20 years. I really appreciate that. I just wanted to let you know. I still remember that.
Jeez.
To get to my point, what's going to prevent St. Louis from really manhandling the Bruins, because as there's no repercussions after Game 7, the season's done. So I think part of the reason why the Bruins were run so handily last game, I don't think anybody wanted to push it the envelope like they have been, because I don't think they wanted to miss a Game 7. But now with that being on the out of the equation, what's going to prevent them from really, and usually the referees do swallow the whistles on the deciding Game 7. What do you think about that?
I think that there's the very real possibility, given the way the Blues have played this entire playoff run, but especially this series, that they're going to try to go out and hurt people. They've tried to hurt people in every game of every series so far. And I don't just mean play hard, finish your checks. I mean, the Bruins try to like to think they do that as well. It seems like every St. Louis hit ends up around the head.
Well, right, and the key to this is, because I think that is how they're going to play, and it's just now to the refs, who we've already seen once in this series, let a headshot go, and then the league determined that, oh, that should be a suspension. So suspensions aren't going to help the Bruins at all.
Nope.
So it's going to be, do the refs in the game tomorrow night, do they feel compelled enough to, if they see a five-minute major penalty, to call it that way?
Because or are they going to be scared of that? We think there are two instances in this series alone where five-minute majors could have, perhaps should have been called. The hit against Matt Grizzlick should have been a five-minute major. The slew foot on Nola Chari, Paul Stewart, former NHL referee, told us should have been a five-minute major in a game misconduct. In the case of the Achari, it wasn't even a minor penalty. Forget about a major.
Right. The Johansson one wasn't even a penalty, so they've had plenty of those.
They'll be afraid to do it. Because they made such a meal of that Vegas game, five-minute major in that game, I think that NHL officials have said, I'm not going near it.
Well, also, I mean, you think about it. If the Bruins got a five-minute major, think about what they did in Game 3, for example, four power play goals and four shots. You know, that could be the game. And I think they're afraid to do that. But the Blues aren't just kind of barely crossing the line at times. They're going way over. So it's going to have to be up to them to, because, you know, the caller said, what would prevent them from doing that? It would have to be the refs, you know, making it clear. And, you know, you hope that they just call it the same the whole game. Like, first period should be an indication on how the whole thing is going to be called. You know, you go back a couple of games ago to Brad Marchand getting called for a slash, you know, on Bennington.
The goaltender. Like,
well, if that's a penalty, then everything's a penalty. But that shouldn't have been.
Well, Zdeno Chara interference when he's in a battle in front of the net.
Right.
Where he gets cross-checked. He gives one back. They go back and forth. He knocks the guy down.
Right.
Because he's bigger and stronger and gets the interference.
It seems like to make it a little bit more even, so it's not five power plays to zero power plays, they are calling some of the cheaper ones on the Bruins. And then they're waiting for like the egregious ones on the Blues, and you're like, well, you got to pick one thing. Either you're letting them play tonight, which is what you would assume in a Game 7, but if it's not, then you got to be consistent the whole night.
We got some further information about Doug Armstrong, the general manager of the St. Louis Blues. Another tweet from the Garden says the president of the Blues, Doug Armstrong, just laid out the Boston Zamboni crew for not having the ice ready for the Blues practice. He said, do your blanking jobs, he's yelling at them.
All right, Doug.
You know, just a thought here, Doug.
Yeah.
Maybe if you hadn't knocked one of the Bull Gang members into the middle of next week and out of the series, they might have been a little...
Guess what? That's home ice advantage. You're right? There's going to be some... It's not just the day of the game. It's everything leading up to it. And if that's a little gamesmanship on the Bruins' part, good.
I kind of like it, to be honest.
I don't mind.
Good for them. Adrienne is in Hudson. Hey, Adrienne.
Hi, how are you today?
Good, doing great.
I wanted to talk a little bit about Rask. I've always liked him, but he's never been able to win the big one. Right. Unfortunately, you know, the Chicago series, he couldn't beat Montreal for years. I mean, I think he has a ton of talent, but if he wins, he's kind of the David Price of the of the of the Bruins without, you know, all the fanfare about it.
That's
you know
a good
what I mean?
Call.
It is, although you know? his performance has been better than Price. Price, not only did, right. had he not won, but he was nowhere near what he normally is in the regular season. Tuukka's actually had good numbers. It's just he hasn't been there to win it. You're right.
And I think, and I really believe that Tim Thomas, that performance can't be really matched. Maybe it could be matched if we win the cup, but that he was so unconscious in that series, and it's not a knock against Rask to say it, but I think you're wrong to say that Rask will be better if he wins.
Tim Thomas's goals against average that year was 1.98. Tuukka, well, wait. Tuukka's in 2013 was 1.88. His goals against average this year is 1.93. He's been better in two different playoff runs than Thomas was.
Right.
Except at the end when they needed it. That's the point.
Well, you know see,
I mean?
But
it doesn't
but,
make him a better player.
Yeah, but see, Adrienne, what you're saying is the two goals in 17 seconds were just Tuukka's fault.
Well, they were pretty bad. I was watching it. I
was there. He was not the only guy at fault, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, but if the most important thing is, and it should be, I get why it would be, the most important thing should be winning the cup. So if you want to throw 13 out, I can kind of understand that argument. But if they win it this year, I don't know how you can look at all the numbers being better, both winning the cup, both winning the Conn Smythe, and not acknowledge that Tuukka had a better run.
What else you got coming up next, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WE.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Yeah. All right, a couple of things that we didn't get to earlier in the program. It's time for...
What else you got?
Dale?
I'll start.
All right.
The captain, Zdeno Chara, after the practice today, the final practice of the year. Again, met with the media. We sort of mocked this the other day. Saturday, they had him do this in St. Louis, and he heard
to talk what like this on earth? Other guys to talk to. Let's talk to the guy with the broken jaw.
Sounded a little clearer today.
Okay.
And he really did want to take an opportunity to thank Bruins fans for the ovation that he received before Game 5 at the Garden.
I didn't expect it, obviously. I was overwhelmed by the response of the crowd. It's very humbling, and so honored to get that kind of pregame crowd being involved and cheering us on. It just shows that how passionate the Boston fans are. Very much appreciated, and we are so thankful they are so behind us and cheering us on.
Bruins by 100.
I think he'd be an incredible ventriloquist, because if you think about it, too.
He sounds really good there.
And he's 6'9".
Yeah.
So you put a tiny little puppet in his hands, and it would be really quite a show. I'd go to that. I'd go see that. I don't like to go see a lot of live shows, but I'd see.
Not a lot of ventriloquists on your go-to list?
No, not since Otto and George passed away.
Oh,
but
that's sad. You had to bring that up, huh?
I did. Well,
the end of the show, hurts. You're taking us out on a down note.
No, I'm not. I'm going to spin it around.
Okay.
I'm going to spin it around on you. It's been a while since we've checked in.
What else you got?
I'll tell you what I got. It's been a while since we've checked in on Mike Francesa and
what
he's been up to. Well, this past weekend, of course, was the Belmont Stakes, so that means, callers are going to call into Francesa and, maybe have a good horse question.
If you were to ask 100 horse trainers, I'm wondering what they would how they'd answer the following question. Does the horse know it's in a race? What does the horse know? Does the horse know just he has to run as, or she has to run as fast as they can? Or do they know their goal is to beat all the other horses? And then the follow-up question is, I just heard somebody
talking
the other day.
They're born to race. They're born and bred to race. They're born
to
race.
It's important to run the fastest they can, or they know it's important to come in first?
No, they don't. Horses don't think in those terms. What they do is they're conditioned that they're treated better when they win.
Is that right? Well, when they win, meaning, so you're saying they know when they win?
They know when they win, absolutely.
They do?
Absolutely.
Is that... Okay.
Absolutely,
okay.
And a lot of them don't like to get beat. Don't like to get beat to the wire. They like to race. They don't like anybody in front of them. They're very competitive.
Just one more question.
The better ones are very competitive. Plus, they intimidate and they intimidate each other just like people do. They intimidate. They completely intimidate each other.
Well, I know how they do that.
If you put two males, if you took two male stallions and passed them by each other, they would try to kill each other.
Is that right?
What? Well, first of all, can we?
There's a lot to unpack.
Can we circle back to?
Go ahead.
If they win, they're treated better?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound right to me.
I don't like
that. They're out there doing their best.
Right, they are. And they're very competitive. And they try to intimidate each other. And I know how they do it, too. I've seen some of these horses.
Apparently, they kill each other.
Holy smokes. Some of them, though, you would gasp. But how does he know that they are competitive like that?
How does he know?
I thought he was joking. I thought it was like a prank caller, just being like asking him to talk about horses. But Francesca was happy to go inside the mind of a horse.
Yeah.
And talk about how competitive they are. I don't think they're bred to race. So he's just like, they just love to race. Like, is that even true? I'm telling you, I'm convinced horses are the most miserable creatures on earth.
Well, especially if they're at Santa Anita.
Oh my God.
Where 29 have died since March, including two this past weekend.
Oh, it's awful. But even like those poor police horses, you see them clippity cloppy around in, you know, through Faneuil Hall, and you're like, this poor guy looks miserable. Never seen
a
happy
bowl
horse.
Of oats, a bucket of water, and a field.
Maybe a field just to run around in.
Leave
well, no.
Me alone.
Now if there's another stallion, they'll kill each other.
Apparently.
How would a horse fight another horse? What would that look
like? Kicking it?
Oh, yeah, they can turn around and give you
back
a good
hooves
boot
coming up.
Back hooves. What if they both just turn their backs and they're just back kicking each other? What a sight that would be.
And if they come up on their back legs.
Because they wouldn't, like, bite each other, would they?
Well,
they
you don't
they
know.
Could.
We could ask Mike. He's talked to them.
Call Francesca tomorrow, Shyam, and we'll get to the bottom of this. Yeah, that'll be good.
I have very good news to close this out.
Oh, even better.
Apparently, Blues GM Doug Armstrong has circled back to apologize to the Bull Gang at the Garden.
Oh, he's shook.
Too late.
He is.
Too late, Doug. Yeah,
he's too frazzled right now.
You were yelling at,
no, we
at
remember.
Matt Grizzlick's dad, among others.
We're going to remember.
We will never forget.
That's right, Doug.
We got to get out of here. Tomorrow is Game 7. Andrew Raycroft is going to join us in studio to preview Game 7 from noon to 1. We'll have a whole bunch of other stuff we'll get to as well. OMF is coming up next. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Goodbye. Thank you for stopping by. Goodbye. 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 Thank you. Stopping by!
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.